Welcome back to Comment, the big conversation, the great debate here from Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. We're talking, of course, about Gaza, about the sea, the ocean of blood now flowing in this tiny territory, 24 miles long and 4.5 miles wide, in which almost 2 million people, almost all of them refugees, are trapped behind barbed wire and machine gun towers in order to be killed like fish in a barrel. No one is opening the gates. No one is lifting a finger. And the United Nations appears oblivious, absolutely sanguine about their own schools and shelters being remorselessly bombed and destroyed, along with scores of people inside them. There's 18 now dead in the school in Beit Hanun, to which the refugees fled after Israel ordered them to flee to shelter, like the one that they have now destroyed. So there are demonstrations all over the world tomorrow, the annual Al-Quds rally. I want to know what your message will be to those rallies. And the next day, Saturday, there are demonstrations which everyone should join all over the world. What will your message be to these rallies? I have a caller on the line, another Aisha, in fact, in the United Kingdom. Aisha, welcome.
Salaam alaikum, George.
Walaikum salam. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, George. First of all, I would like to say that I highly respect everything you do. You are a true person. You're fighting for everyone and humanity in itself. So for that, I will have to give you my utmost respect.
Thank you.
Second of all, what I'm seeing for the last couple of weeks is nothing compared to what's been going on for the last 60 years in Palestine and what the Israelis, the Zionists, have done in Palestine. I cannot believe that the UN will just stand there and watch child after child get murdered, slaughtered. Live on TV, you can see these things happening, and the UN just sit there and do nothing about it. The amount of regulations that Israel has broken, the UN resolutions, and they just sit there and allow the bombings of their own schools and their own buildings. Why? I just can't understand why the UN ain't doing nothing about it.
Well, the United States vetoes any Security Council resolution critical of Israel, and Britain, and usually France, also veto it and are ready also to veto it. So it's not possible to get anything through the Security Council. But Ban Ki-moon is not an elected official, or at least he doesn't come up for election. He is the Secretary General. Can he not find the vocabulary? I mean, I don't actually ever understand anything he's saying, but can't he get someone to write a statement that is unequivocal, that Israel will have to pay a political price for the deliberate bombardment? Let's be clear about this. Nothing accidental about it. 1, 2, 3, 4 shells landed on the UN shelter school in Beit Hanun. That something will have to be done. I'm expecting the United Nations to do nothing, because as you rightly say, Palestine has been occupied for more than 65 years. And for more than 65 years, it has been tolerated that a state brought into being by the United Nations could treat the United Nations with unalloyed, absolute contempt. So I'm back to where I started, Aisha. I'm struggling, like you, in Britain, to try and change the situation in Britain. I'm struggling to try and change the stand of the United Nations. But I'm asking myself, where are the Arabs? This is the shoe that didn't drop, the dog that didn't bark. This is the biggest question in this picture. Because even if the United Nations did nothing, even if Britain never changed, even if the United States never fell out of love with Israel, the Arabs could free the Palestinian people by themselves and in a week by simply making a declaration that they will produce and sell no more oil. And for anyone who thinks I'm a dreamer, the King Faisal of Saudi Arabia already did it and had the result of bringing to an end the Israeli advance in the war of October 1973. So I'm asking, I don't like to beg, but I'm begging Malik Abdullah, the custodian of the two mosques, I'm begging you, Your Majesty, do something. Khalid is on the line in Berlin. Khalid, go ahead.
Hello?
Khalid, hello? You're on the air. Turn your TV down.
Hello?
Yes, turn your television down, please.
Yes, I have a question.
Yeah, go on.
Yes, I want to ask you, why the Hezbollah in South Lebanon not acting now immediately? Then I fear that the next come maybe Hezbollah, and I hope that the resistance maybe is stronger than when Hezbollah is now in the game. Can you answer this question?
No, I don't speak for Hezbollah. I have nothing to do with them. I have no authority to answer such a question, but I can hazard a guess. And my guess would be that Hezbollah has been sucked into the vortex of the hideous, disfiguring, sectarian war in Syria and now also in Iraq. I don't know if Hezbollah has the capacity within range of the Zionist state to enter this war and to deal with the consequences of entering it. And who's to blame for that? The people who've ripped Syria and Iraq apart for sectarian purposes. That's who's to blame for that. Khalid in Berlin, thanks for the call and the question. I'm not answerable for Hezbollah, but I think it's a bit much raising a complaint about them when they're actually the only people who have ever defeated the Israeli army on the battlefield and have shown themselves absolutely faithful allies of the Palestinian people all of these years. Where do you think the people in Gaza got their weapons? I'll tell you where they got their weapons. They got them from Hezbollah and they got them from Iran. That's my message to the sectarian idiots out there. None of these regimes that call themselves, though I myself would never agree to the description, but call themselves Sunni governments, never done telling us about the perfidy of Shiism. The only people who have come to the aid of the Palestinian people are Iran, Hezbollah, and the Syrian regime before it too was dragged into the vortex. Let's talk to Aviva in Pakistan. Aviva, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening, Sir George Galloway.
Good evening, welcome.
My highest respect to you, sir, for the work that you're doing, and I stand by each and every word that you say.
Thank you, madam.
I'm calling from Pakistan, and I live in a country where my people are also being oppressed by the tyrants, our corrupt government leaders, and I'm not into politics or anything. I'm a common citizen, a common civilian, and I'm getting frustrated with the situation that's in my country and what's happening around the world. And I'm extremely ashamed of the entire Muslim community. We don't realize what we've done wrong, that we're having to deserve all that we're going through or that we've been put through. I think my message tomorrow in the Al-Quds rally, which I will be going, is we Muslims need to ask for forgiveness from the Almighty and repent for the sins that we've done and get united to stand up against the tyrants of the world and show the world that we are united and we will not be oppressed. I mean, watching all that's happening in Gaza for the past 17 days, I mean, it is so depressing that we don't feel like eating, we don't feel like drinking, I don't feel like going out anywhere. I've even sworn that even Eid coming up in a couple of days, I don't wish to celebrate Eid. Why is all this happening? Why are we so oppressed?
Well, sister, that's a very...
They're sitting in their great palaces over there. They have money to spend on horse races. They have money to arrange football matches. They don't have money to support their brothers. Is this not hypocrisy?